We're going to look at the Word of God in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Isn't it good to know God still saves people? I appreciate Brother Tom letting me be with him this past week at Morris Keep. I wonder if you work at Morris Keep or you volunteer in any way, would you just stand up real quick? Let everybody see. I know there's some young men here and ladies who counsel. Just stand up real quick. Do anything. Brother Cade, I don't know if he's here somewhere or not. Let's give these folks a round of applause. It was H-O-T last week. Does anybody know what that spells? It's going to be H-O-T-T-E-R this week. Brother Tom came up to me after the last service. He said, you know what the temperature was during that last service, don't you? I said, no, it was hot. He said it was 94. I think the humidity was 1,000%. But you know what? Aren't you glad the Lord's not limited by heat and humidity? And God can do whatever he chooses to do. Acts chapter 4 is where we're going to be. I just let you know, I didn't tell Britton what I was preaching this morning, but he couldn't have hit it any better through the music this morning. The Lord's amazing how the Lord does that sometimes and puts things together. And you find in Acts chapter 4, we're in the middle of a big event. If you take Jesus' ministry and as it winds down and you get to where he comes into Jerusalem and rides into Jerusalem, and they greet him, Hosanna, the glory of God in the highest. That episode in Jerusalem goes from Jesus riding a donkey into town, through his crucifixion, through his trial, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension. It goes right into the first seven chapters of the book of Acts. This just keeps stringing together, and it stops with Stephen being killed. The religious leaders of that day were after one thing, that was killing Jesus. And when they realized they couldn't kill Jesus, guess what they got busy doing? Killing Jesus' followers. And it kind of crescendos in Acts chapter 7 when Stephen is stoned. And right in the middle of this, we find this particular story of what we are dealing with. Notice in Acts 4, verse number 1, it says, and as they spake, the they there is Peter and John. Tuck it away in your memory real quick. As Peter and John spoke unto the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, who was the guard, who was the charge of the police force of the religious leaders, the Sadducees, came to them. Notice this, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. The word grieved there, if you could look it up in the original language of the New Testament, literally means boiling over on the inside. These guys were hot. They were mad. You say, what were they mad about? They spent 3 years trying to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. They spent 3 years trying to trip him up and make him say something he shouldn't say, to catch him up in a lie, to catch him up in something in the Old Testament that Jesus didn't know or Jesus misspoke. The only thing they didn't realize is Jesus was involved in writing the Old Testament. So they couldn't trip him up. They spent 3 years doing that. When they realized they could not trip him up, they said our only recourse left is to kill him. So that boiling over boils outward into the crowd of that day, of Jesus' day. It boils over so much that this same group of men, the Sanhedrin, and those that are around them, these religious leaders, same group, killed Christ. I'd hate to say this, but I am pretty sure after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ and he was put in the tomb, there was celebration with this group. They celebrated the fact that they had done away with what they called the prophet of the Lord. I'll remind you, Jesus was not the first one they killed, but he was the biggest one they killed. He was the king. He was the prophet, the priest, the king. It's all over. We got it all figured out. All of a sudden, 3 days later, they wake up to the same rumors that Peter and John woke up to. They woke up to the soldiers who had been standing by the tomb, showed up and said, hey, we got news for you. Something happened last night. There was an earthquake. Things began to shake. Angels came down. Angels rolled a stone away. And I don't make it real clear this morning. Angels didn't roll a stone away so Jesus could get out. They rolled a stone away so you could see it was empty. Jesus got out on his own power out of the resurrection. He came out on his own power out of that tomb. They think we squashed this thing. They get busy trying to squash this thing again. Only thing is, God had a bigger purpose than they did. They say, we're going to squelch this thing. We're going to put it down. And then lo and behold, at the resurrection, you go back and read it in the Gospels, some of the Old Testament saints got up and walked around for a season. Can you imagine as the Jewish leaders having to deal with that thing? Temple veils written too. What in the world's going on? Somebody sews it back up. Listen, you can sew back up religion all you want to, but you've still got the same old dead religion. And that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to keep squash it. Didn't work. Jesus shows up. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, by many infallible proofs, he shows up that he is alive and well. He ascends up back to heaven outside of Jerusalem. Can you imagine the scene? Several hundred people witnessed that event. Man, we got to keep this thing contained. What is going on here? These same Sanhedrin, same religious group. We're going to keep this thing contained. My friend, when God's at work, you can try to contain it all you want to, but you're not going to contain God. So, he ascends. Oh, maybe it's over. I'm sure they had some meetings. You think we weathered a storm? I don't know. Up comes a fisherman and John. And these dudes in Acts chapter 2 decide to show up and they're going to preach. And they start preaching, and the Bible says as if a mighty rushing wind came down from heaven and it looked like fire was sitting on top of their head. The Holy Spirit came down. And by the way, that phrase mighty rushing wind literally means the breath of God moved down on those people. He starts preaching. Peter lets loose. I'll remind you, we're going to see in just a minute, Peter was a fisherman. Peter quoted the Old Testament backwards and forward, sideways, diagonally, from the backside. He quoted it every way to quote it. And he says, you're the ones who killed Jesus. He gives invitation or doesn't give invitation. 3,000 people are converted on the spot. I think that was an affirmation for Peter, because I remind you, how many times did Peter deny the Lord? 3 times. God gave him 1,000 times. He told him, feed my sheep. 3 times. It was affirmation for Peter that God's still at work. So, 3,000 people's converted. Hey, if 30 people got saved at Beulah this morning, you think it caused a stink in Randolph Moore in Chatham County? Shake your head, yes or no. Oh, yeah, it would cause, they say, man, what's going on up there at Beulah Baptist Church? I mean, I don't understand what's going on. Can you imagine 3,000 people converted at one time? That's not enough. Look what ticks off, finally boils over and ticks off these religious leaders. Peter and John's walking in the temple. You can read it on your own time. They're walking into the temple and they see a lame man walking there. I'll remind you, that's the same lame man that all these religious leaders had walked by for decades. Threw him a coin, threw him a token. Hey, buddy, here's what's left over of my bread. Here, buddy, there's that. They didn't give that man 1 ounce of hope. How do you know that? Because he had to keep coming back. He didn't get hope. Peter and John walk up, and they say, hey, alms for the poor, will you give me some money? Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but this I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible says in the next verse, and his feet and ankle bones received strength, and the man stood up. And not up did the man stand up. He went on a shouting spell, running around the church. Anybody remember shouting spells back in the day? He took off laps around the temple, around the synagogue. Listen, he didn't take laps around the Baptist church in Jerusalem because there wasn't one. You know where he took laps around? He took laps around where those religious men were, jumping up and down, praising God, praising the name of Jesus. And they're sitting there, we're in our own temple, we're in our own house of worship, and this man's out there jumping up and down, causing a commotion in the name we tried to kill. So we find Peter in chapter 4, verse number 2, these men are grieved. They're boiling over. You know how boiling over they are? They're so boiling over that in chapter 7, they'll pick up stones and stone a man. They're so boiling over in chapter 8 and chapter 9, they'll hire Saul, who became Paul, to become their death angel and massacre people who came to Christ. That's not much religion. That's a false religion. God gives liberty. God gives life. These men wanted death. They were not after killing the disciples of Jesus. They were after squashing the name of Jesus, tearing down the name of Jesus, ruining the name of Jesus. Notice what happens in verse number 3. They're boiling over. Thereby, if they could have got their way, right here, verse 3, could read, if they would have gotten their way, they would have done the same thing to Peter and John they did to Jesus. Notice what happens. They laid hands on them, put them in hold. They arrested them until the next day, for it was eventide. You say, why didn't they meet at night like they did with Jesus? Because the rule was the Sanhedrin could not meet at night. So the crucifixion and trial of Jesus was a hoax because they broke their own rules. But they wouldn't break their own rules here. Notice verse number 4. Get this. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word, what's your Bible say? Believed. And the number of the men was 5,000. We always talk about Pentecost and 3,000 people getting saved. Are you realizing when Peter and John preached and when they got arrested, it stirred the people up so much in Jerusalem that 5,000 men were converted. Notice it says here, men. That is referring specifically for men. It's not the term for mankind. It is specifically for male gender. That means that there were probably children and probably women converted as well. Some Bible scholars say between Pentecost and this event, somewhere between 8 to 20,000 people were converted on one spot. You say, why didn't they crucify Peter and John there? Because there was 20,000 people standing outside waiting to see what they were going to do. And they knew if they killed these men, guess what the crowd was going to do to them? They're going to throw them into jail. So they had fear. Notice verse number 5. It came to pass. It lists all these dudes. The rulers, the elders, the scribes, Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander. As many of the kindred of the high priest that were in the line to be the high priest were gathered together in Jerusalem. I'm going to tell you again, this is the same group that 50, 60 days ago passed, crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me this morning? This is the exact same group except for maybe one or two of them. They had switched roles in who the high priest was at this point, but that high priest that insisted that Jesus be killed, he is in this group as well. This is the same, exact, same group that killed Jesus, that insisted that Jesus be killed. Notice this, verse 7. And when they had set them in their midst, I am told that they would meet, and if there was a trial, they would circle up around them. They would put the accused in the middle, and they would try the accused. Is it possible, church, that Peter and John stood in the same spot that their Lord stood? The answer is absolutely. Absolutely. The Bible tells us that John followed the Lord as close as he could in these spots. You remember what happened to Peter when the Lord was in this spot? A little girl comes up to him. The Bible tells us, you reread it in the Gospels, that he was underneath where they were meeting, trying to listen. A little girl comes up. Hey, aren't you one of them there disciples? I think I saw you with Jesus. Nah, girl, I don't know what you're talking about. Who's Jesus? Goes over another fire, warming his hands. She follows him over. Hey, I'm pretty sure you were with Jesus. She's a little girl now. Peter is a burly old man. But he's a big old dude. Girl, why don't you just go bother somebody? You old servant girl, just go bother somebody else. Leave me alone. He goes running over here. He's warming his hands. She comes. What do you want? Have I told you to leave me alone? I know for a fact you're one of those disciples of Jesus. You go back and read your Bible. He cussed, he cursed, he stormed. He ranted that he didn't know Jesus and ran out. The Bible said from that point off, he followed from afar off. I ask you a question. You reckon Peter remembered that? But there's something different about Peter in this text. Notice verse number 7. And when they had set him in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Oh, here's the change. You ready for this? In the words of Grandma Jackson, we used to ride her in her purple Ford Maverick on the country roads up in Virginia where he couldn't see around the curve. She said, boys, I'm going to drive it fast. Hold on to your bloomers. That's what she used to say to us. Hold on. I'm getting ready to give you a big truth this morning. You ready? You ready? Then Peter, comma, filled with the Holy Ghost. Isn't it a difference when God gets a hold of somebody and God changes somebody on the inside, that it changes what they do on the outside? Peter had fallen in love with Jesus even more. And some people, you say, maybe Peter even was finally fully converted after the resurrection. We'll argue that in heaven. We'll ask Peter when we see him. Something changed in Peter. You cannot deny it. The Bible says here he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice what he says in verse number 9. If we this day, this is Peter, being examined of the good deed done by to the impotent man, the lame man that they had healed of Nazareth. I'll just stop right there. Can I remind you again? He is surrounded by the very people that crucified Jesus Christ. He is surrounded by the high priest that ordered it. He is surrounded by all of those Sanhedrin who witnessed it. He is surrounded by those men who took their hands and reached up there and grabbed a handful of beard and plucked it off of his face as a sign of him. You are not a preacher. You are not a teacher. It was a sign of disrespect to Jesus. This is the very same men. Woo! If I was Peter, I'd be going, let me do some calculations here. I might be next. Can I go back and reread it? Be it known unto all. Who is he talking to? All 71 of you Sanhedrin. There's 71 of them. Why was there 71? The high priest was a tiebreaker, number 71. And he said, and to all people of Israel, that it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Well, hold on now. This is the stone. We just sang about it a minute ago. Which is set at naught of the builders, which is become the head of the corner. He says to these dudes, he said, I'm going to tell you right now, you want to know what happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. This man got up and walked. He didn't get up and walk because I'm something special. I'm adding a little bit to it for flavor. He said, he didn't get up and walk because I've got some kind of special healing ability. He says he got up because it's in the name of Jesus Christ that he got up. And he said, it's in that name. And he looked around that room and he says, you guys crucified him. You guys put him on Calvary's cross. You're the ones that did it. But he said, listen, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And that God got him up out of the grave. He said, that's the God who did this thing. That's how that man got up and walked. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. The Bible's very clear. If it wasn't for the people outside and the lame man standing next to them, that they would have put hands on them right there, on the spot. Fear of man. They were afraid of what was going to happen. Then Peter drops a bomb on them. This ain't a hand grenade. This ain't a bunker buster like President Trump used. This is not an atomic bomb. This is a spiritual bomb that's going to blow up. Notice what it says. Neither is there salvation in any other. For they're the right way and think you're right with God. But listen to what Peter says. He says, there is salvation no other way but Jesus Christ. No other way. You said, Brother Daniel, that's not passive. Brother Daniel, that's not tolerant. Brother Daniel, that's just hateful. No, my friend, I didn't make the Bible. God gave the Bible. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I'm talking to some people here this morning. You're dotting all your I's and crossing all your T's. You think you got it all put together. Your name may be on the roll of this church, but you know and God knows you're not one of his children. I'll say to you today, you can claim a lot of other names. You can claim a lot of other ways, but only one way are you getting to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, neither is there salvation in any other. You can't come any other way. Peter ain't going to be at the gate of heaven taking roll. Jesus Christ knows his sheep. He knows his redeemed. He has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And I'll mention to you while I'm at it, he's got the keys of heaven as well. And my friend, if you don't know him, Peter tells these religious guys sitting there, ain't none of y'all going to get in. I have to ask myself this question. All of a sudden in chapter 8 and chapter 9, there is a man that appears. The man's name is Saul. Is it possible that then these 71 religious leaders or hanging around with these 71 religious leaders is a man named Saul. We know he was present at the stoning of Stephen because he held the coats while they stoned him. He says in Acts chapter 26 that I cast the lot or my vote to kill the Christians. Paul may not have been one of the 71, but he was there. My friend, never doubt what God is doing when you don't see an answer. God is up to more than you ever will be up to. Notice what happens in verse number 13. They saw the boldness of Peter and John. They perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. The word unlearned there, the prefix un and the word learn literally means not taught. What they meant was they were not taught in the Old Testament. They perceived that they were not taught. I encourage you in your free time, go back and read the Sermon of Pentecost. Go back and read Peter's sermon after he healed the lame man. Peter quotes the Old Testament prolifically. Backwards, forward, obscure passages from prophets that we would not even recognize. You say, how did Peter know that? Either mom and dad taught him, or more than likely Jesus taught him, or the Holy Spirit taught him on the fly. One of those three. He quotes them back. He said, these are unlearned men. They don't know what they're talking about. This is what they're saying. Well, Peter does not have the correct, I can't even button it anymore. Peter does not have the correct title behind his name. Peter did not attend the proper seminary. Peter did not attend the proper Sunday school class. So therefore, he has no authority on this. My friend, you look here to me, I'd rather have Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God as my authority any day of the week than have the stamp of any seminary. Notice the next phrase here. They were ignorant men. You ready for this? I was shocked when I found this. In the Greek, it is spelled I-D-I-O-T. John MacArthur said, don't stone me if you don't like John MacArthur. He said, it is better translated ignoramus. Well, Peter, John, we know you haven't learned like we learned. You haven't learned yet. And you appear to be ignoramuses. That's what they're saying. Can I say something to you today? I'd rather be an ignoramus for Christ than to have all the world had to offer. I'd rather know the Lord of the Bible than to know every fact about the Bible and can regurgitate it word for word. You know, you can understand everything about the Bible but not know God. The Bible says in James, even the devils fear and tremble, and even the devils understand, but they cannot come to the repentance of saving faith. This is what they're saying here, they're unlearned men. Notice this. They marveled. These men that were boiling over in the inside, now all of a sudden they're boiling over fire to kill these men. It's like, what in the world's going on? They marveled. It's like, this makes no sense. Oh, in the words of Grandma Jackson, hold on. They took knowledge of them that they had been with, what's your Bible say? Jesus. You know, I got thinking about this. Peter had been with Jesus a lot. Peter held a basket when he fed 5,000. Jesus broke off a head, a tail, or the middle part of the fish, or a piece of bread, threw it in the basket, and all of a sudden it's... And then he has a whole basket left over for himself. Peter was there when Jesus spit in his hands, took the dirt and stuff and spit and put it on the guy's eyes, says, go wash your eyes off. He had seen the Lord heal him and touch him. He had been with Jesus. He had been with Jesus when he was transfigured up into heaven. There is Elijah and there's Moses. And he's going, wow, should we build three tabernacles here? Jesus said, no, I'm it. I'm the way. I'm all there is. Peter had seen all these things. He had been with Jesus. All the things that Luke writes about that says the books of the world cannot fill, or it's John, that Jesus did. Peter saw it all. But it didn't change him. I'm talking to some people this morning. You may have spent your entire life here. You've seen God do great things. You've seen God do impossible things. Wow, that's great. 36 people got saved this week. But he's never saved you. You can hang around with religious people. You can hang around with good Christians. You can run around with Jesus himself. But if you don't come by the way of the cross, you will not be born again. Something happened to Peter. What in the world happened to Peter? John 20 tells us what happened to Peter. When the resurrected Mary Magdalene went down to the tomb and she saw the empty tomb, she looked in there, saw the empty tomb, and she was told, go and tell Matthew. Y'all remember that story? Go and tell John. Go tell Mark. Go tell Dr. Luke that I'm resurrected from the dead. You know what Jesus said? Go tell Peter. Peter shows up in the upper room. Christ walks through the wall. Did he walk through the wall? Did the Bible say he walked through the wall? He walked through the wall. He created it all. He can do whatever he wants to. Amen? He walks through the wall. He sees. He touches with Thomas. I'm sure he's right there with him. Lord, let me feel. Lord, let me see. Lord, let me look. He tells us over in 1st, 2nd Peter, John tells it as well, we have touched, we have handled the word of life. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We had seen it. He had seen all these things. You know what Peter did? See you, God. Come on, let's go back. It's over. Never thought I'd pick these fishing nets up again. Gets back on a... He enjoyed all the fame and all the allure that went with running around with Christ. Got out in the boat. Man. Ain't no fishing today. Too hot. Too hot to fish today. Hey, Peter, who's that over there on the shore? I can't tell who it is. Who is that over there? I don't know who that is. The Bible tells us that Peter was inappropriately dressed while he was out on the ship. Go read it for yourself. Who is that? He hears these words. Why don't you put your nets on the other side? Only one person could do that. The Bible says he clothed himself, jumped out the boat, and went to the shore, and it was Jesus. You see, when you're still running, look at me this morning, friend. When you're still running, God's still pursuing. There's some people here this morning. You say, everybody here is saved this morning. I don't know that. You don't know that. Only God knows that. There's some of you still running. There's some of you still trying to find a way. I just want to be comfortable. I just want to be convenient. I just want everything to be honky-dory where I can do what I want to do. I can be where I want to be. I want enough of the Lord to say I'm in, but I want enough of the world to say I got it. My friend, you can't serve two masters. You can't run after two different things. You got to choose whom you're going to serve and whom you're going to love. Peter said, that's Jesus. He goes out to the, gets out. Jesus gets up there. Jesus already got supper ready. Jesus didn't have to catch the fish. He made the fish. Hey, did they peer up on the fire? Did Jesus say, let there be fire? Boom, yep, there's fish. That's probably what happened. He gets up there. Do you know who Jesus spends all his time with? Peter. Peter. Friend, this morning, there's a personal God sitting in heaven who's still pursuing you. Who's still looking after you. Say, how did it change Peter so much? Peter got the Jesus that was around him. You ready for this? Now was inside of him. Was inside of him. Peter shows up later in this text. He told these same religious dudes. He says, we cannot but speak the things we have seen and we have heard. We've been radically changed. Verse 20 says, we can't help but speak those things which we have seen and heard. Peter tells us in verse 24, he calls him Lord. That is not the word Lord we typically use in the New Testament. Kurios, K-U-R-I-O-U-S in the Greek. It is the word despot, king, that the Lord is king. I'm going to tell you what happened to Peter out on a Galilean seashore. He encountered his Lord and he made Jesus Christ the king and the Lord of his life. It all changed that day for him. Was he saved that day? I don't know. You can ask Peter when you get to heaven. But I can tell you this, something changed in Peter on a shore side of the seashore one day. When the Lord came to him, there's the Lord calling some people here this morning to change you. There's some people here are content with just being around Jesus. Jesus doesn't just want you to be around you. He wants to be in you and saved you and changed you, given you a new life, made you a new creature. The old things are passed away. All things have become new. He wants to give you what you can't make of yourself. And that is a born-again child of God. That's what Peter got. I don't think, excuse me for being smart aleck, I don't think Peter went to the self-help bookstore or went on the internet and Googled, I need a book on how to be bold. I don't think I need a book, I'm going to go to a seminar at the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm going to go to a seminar at the Independent Fundamental Bible Believing Baptist Conference. I'm going to go there. Oh, I'm going to go to a conference at the Methodist. I'm going to go to the conference of the Pentecostals because they seem to have more of the Holy Spirit than everybody else. I'm going to go to one of them conferences and find out how to be bold. You ready for this? He became bold when Jesus became his Lord. And Jesus changed him. You see, boldness is not something we have to put on. It comes out of us. It comes out of us. It changes us radically on the inside. And boldness doesn't mean you're brash. Boldness doesn't mean you're mean. Boldness is just, I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. I'm going to tell you what God has been teaching me. I'm just going to tell you what the Word of God says. That's bold. These men, these religious leaders, could not kill these two men. They could not let them go. They had to let them go. They couldn't do anything to them at this point. And they said, you can go out. You can go out, but you can't speak that name anymore. Peter wasn't done. Peter answered him and said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, judge ye, but we cannot speak the things of which we have seen and heard. You excuse me just a moment this morning. I don't need Donald Trump's permission to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't need the Democratic Party's endorsement to preach the name of the Jesus Christ. I have to do what God has simply put inside of us and what he's made us. You know what has changed the church? It wasn't that the church had, did the New Testament church have a copy of this? Yes or no? No. They were writing it. It was being written. Did the New Testament church have a building like this? No, they met in houses. They met at the temple where the Jewish people were at. That's why they were so Jewish people were so ticked off. They met everywhere they could meet. They prayed everywhere they could meet. It was what changed them was the power of the risen Lord changed them. Everybody wants to talk about that. Well, we need to go back and find the revival of the 1960s, the 1970s. You excuse me. We need to go back and find the God of those revivals is what we need. People that are willing to say, I'll forsake this. Men are here who are today who are lost and who say, I'm going to stop running my own way and I'm going to go God's way. That's what we need. When the God gets on the inside and changes the inside, it changes the outside. You cannot clean a fish until you catch it. The fish has to be caught. And maybe some of you need this morning, you need to take off some religious robes this morning. Well, you know, Brother Daniel, everybody thinks that and that. It doesn't matter what man thinks, it only matters what God thinks. You excuse me for being bold this morning. I don't know how much time I have left on this earth, so I'm just going to be bold. I'm just going to speak the name of Jesus Christ this morning. Amen? You don't know how much time you have. My friend, two men died this week, Ozzy Osbourne and Hulk Hogan. I'm not endorsing either one of them. I can definitely tell you where one of them's at. He proclaimed the name of Satan, left upside down one other in my generation. He defamed the name of God, and unless Jesus Christ dealt with him later in his life, he is burning in the pit of hell this morning. He said, well, I like this music, Mr. Daniel. I'm mad at you. Don't be mad at me. Be mad at the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in hell right now. Hulk Hogan supposedly made a profession of faith in the last 2 years. I've seen the videos. I hope he was genuine. Hope he was genuine. You're in the same boat, friend. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? Well, Neil shook my hand. Neil's a pretty good dude. He shook my hand when I joined the church. Hey. Neil ain't going to hold your hand when you stand before the Lord. Well, I sat next to Mama when she gave devotions every night. Excuse me, don't get mad at me, because I had one of them mamas. She was born with a title general in front of her name. She could have been she could have run the chief of staff to the military for the United States of America. She's so tough. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. She's tough. I sat next to her. I heard her talk about the Bible a lot. When I get to heaven, hey, Lord, I wanna play the coupon of, I knew Helen Daniel. She's here somewhere, Lord. I haven't seen her yet, but she's here somewhere. If we could have this conversation, we're not gonna have this conversation in heaven, because only the redeemed are getting into heaven. I got my coupon of Mama. The Lord's gonna do this. Neither is there salvation any other. But there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. And that name is Jesus. And that name is Jesus. That name is Jesus. Have I told you that name is Jesus? Have I told you it's Jesus? You know, people, I'm not against medical professionals. There are people that can go and they can sit down with a psychologist. They can sit down with a psychiatrist. They can talk about their problems. Sometimes people need help. I'm not in any way making fun of that. But I have seen tons and tons of people, women who've been abused, women who've been beaten, women who couldn't forgive the person who did that to them, men who were murderers, men who were drug addicts, men who were alcoholics, that all of a sudden when Jesus Christ changed them on the inside, it changed what they were on the outside. And God did something in them that nobody else could do. We've cheapened the church in our generation. Well, we just don't want to offend anybody. We just want to make anybody mad this morning. We just want to fill the pews up. Listen, the goal of the church is not to fill the pews up. The goal of the church is to fill the pew up with blood-bought, born-again children of God and invite sinners to the house of God. That's the purpose of the church. That's what God wants. That's what changes people. You see, I got a rebellious teenager in my house. He's hard-headed. I'm beating my head up against the wall. Lydia and I have had two of them. The verdict's out on the third one because he's sitting here this morning. I won't talk bad about him. Man, there was one of my kids. If he's sitting here, I tell you, this is what I felt like I did for about a year. I don't want to do it because I don't want a headache. Just, bah, 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 bah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Bah, 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 bah. I hope he's not watching on live stream. Son, can I explain this to you one more time? Your mama's downstairs crying. I'm getting ready to cry, son. I'm just tired of this. I'm hoping your frontal lobe's going to develop before tomorrow morning. And you can understand common logic. Sorry, teenagers, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Son, do you get it? I remember the day when he got it. He went up to camp for the Wiles. He was saved, but he was rebellious. He got a good godly counselor, had seven or eight boys in his cabin. He told me, it took him a week to tell me when he got home. He said, but Dad, I sat up beside that creek and I cried. I asked God to forgive me for being so bitter against him. My son began to change. You see, God can do something that you cannot do. Your love is great. Your compassion is great. It's wonderful. The Bible says in Jude, some having compassion, making a difference. It's important. But church, it is the power of the Holy Spirit through the name of Jesus Christ that changes people. That's what changed Peter. My friend, if you're going to teach them baseball, you forgive me on a rabbit trail. I know it's 12:06, but if Carolina just hit a buzzer beater, you wouldn't be fussing at me right now. You'd still be watching in overtime. Forgive me for just a minute. You can run them all the baseball fields you want to, soccer fields, volleyball, whatever you want to do, but you better give them more of Jesus than everything else you're giving them. Because whatever you give them the most, guess what they're going to follow? If you slip them a $20 bill, $100 bill all the time, but don't invest in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what you should expect? You should expect them to love money more than God. That's truth. I've been doing it 32 years. I've seen it more and more and more. That doesn't fill the empty hole in their soul that God designed for Jesus Christ to fill. Only Jesus can do that. I'm done. Look at verse number 31. Notice what happened here. It says, and when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. In verse number 2, it tells us that the religious people were shaken. They were grieved. When it gets done, God does the shaking. You with me this morning? God does the shaking. God does the tearing up. Did the building visibly shake? According to this text here, when God showed up, he shook things up quite a bit. He shook people up. He shook the buildings up. Can I mention something to you? These religious people saw everything that Jesus did. They went to see the miracles. Is he John the Baptist? Is he Isaiah reincarnated? Is he Elijah? Is he a prophet? They saw all these things. They definitely saw his trial, and they definitely witnessed the crucifixion. And no doubt they went and inspected the empty tomb as well. But they walked away without Jesus. Sad to say this morning, friend, there is someone going to walk away this morning. You've seen God do all kinds of things. You've seen God shake things up. But you're going to walk away. The greatest gift that could ever be given to you is not the breath of life. It is the breath of salvation, of God changing you. I know I'm shooting to a few people this morning on this matter of salvation. But the Lord put this on my heart, and evidently God put it on Britton's heart too, to choose the music this morning right down this line. It is the name of Jesus this morning that changes people. You say, you don't know how bad I've messed up. You know how many times I put a needle in my arm, Brother Daniel. You know how many times I have taken that drug. You know how many women I've hurt in my adult life as a man. How many times I've run away from something. I haven't supported my children like I should. You don't know how many times I've messed up. Listen, there is no gutter. There is no hole. There is no hell hole. There is no cesspool iniquity that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot reach down and save that man. There is nothing he can't save you from. You say, you don't know how bad I am. Ask Paul. Paul had to go back and preach in churches where he had killed the leadership of the church. Can you imagine that one? Hey, Leo's not here. Just forget Leo. Paul goes up to Alice. One of them churches in Asia Minor, and he says, Alice, I'm the one that killed your husband. He was a deacon in the church. And I was lost, but I killed him. I want you to forgive me. You can make excuses for your sin all you want to, but there is always somebody who's a worse sinner than you are. But there's always a greater Savior. You know where he all found us? He found all of us. I'm just going to be honest with you. If this is the pit of sin, he didn't find Leo up here hanging on the cliff about out of it. He didn't find Brother Alton over here. He's halfway out of the pit. He didn't find Lydia. Well, she's navigating the pit. She's making a plan to get out of the pit. Her and Rhonda are making a plan to get out of the pit of sin. Oh, well, then wait a minute. There's Daryl. He's back, got his arm out the pit of sin. You know where he found every last one of us? He found us on the bottom of the bottom of the bottom of the pit of sin. Because the Bible says it only takes one point to offend God. That's all it takes. We're all sinners. There's someone here this morning who needs to come to Christ. I can't make you come. I'm not coming to your seat. I'm not sending Matt to your seat. There's somebody here this morning, you need to come to Christ. There's some Christians here this morning. Can I just be very blunt with you? That if Jesus got a hold of us like he did at salvation and got a hold of us in our daily walk, we turn this county upside down for Jesus Christ. It's just going to flow out. I don't know how to be a witness. You get enough of Jesus on the inside, he's got to get on the outside. I just got to give it to him.